What up, what up, what up? It's the Kid Polo Pull coming to you guys once again with another segment of the Man Stash Minute. In honor of Black History Month, we shall cover and highlight prominent figures within Black history. This abolitionist leader became one of our most famous intellectuals of his time, advising presidents and lecturing to thousands on a range of causes, including women's rights and Irish home rule. Among his writings are several autobiographies eloquently describing his experiences in slavery and his life after the Civil War. Ladies and gentlemen and Stashers, this is the life and legacy of the great Frederick Douglass. So please stay tuned and enjoy Man Stash Minute.
This is the Man Stash Minute.
What up, guys, and we're back, and this is the Man Stash Minute. Today we are highlighting the beautiful life and legacy of Frederick Douglass. Frederick Augustus Washington Bailey was born around 1818 into slavery in Talbot County, Maryland. As was often was the case with slaves, the exact year, date of Douglass's birth are unknown, though later in life he chose to celebrate it on February 14th. Douglass initially lived with his grandmother, Betty Bailey. At a young age, Douglass was selected to live in the home of the plantation owners, one of whom may have been his father. His mother, who was an intermittent presence in his life, died when he was around 10. Defying a ban on teaching slaves to read and write, Baltimore slaveholder Hugh Auld's wife, Sophia, taught Douglass the alphabet when he was around 12. When Auld forbade his wife to offer more lessons, Douglass continued to learn from white children and others around the neighborhood. It was through reading that Douglass's ideological opposition to slavery began to take shape. He read newspapers avidly and sought out political writing and literature as much as possible. In later years, Douglass credited the Columbian orator with clarifying and defining his views on human rights. Douglass shared his newfound knowledge with other enslaved people. Hired out to William Freeland, he taught other slaves on the plantation to read the New Testament at a weekly church service. Interest was so great that in any week, more than 40 slaves would attend lessons. Although Freeland did not interfere with the lessons, other local slave owners were less understanding. Armed with clubs and stones, they dispersed the congregation permanently. With Douglass moving between the halls, he was later made to work for Edward Covey, who had a reputation as a slave breaker. Covey's consistent abuse nearly broke the 16-year-old Douglass psychologically. Eventually, Douglass fought back in a scene rendered powerfully in his first autobiography. After losing a physical confrontation with Douglass, Covey never beat him again. Douglass tried to escape from slavery twice before he finally succeeded. Douglass married Anna Murray, a free black woman, on September 15, 1838. Douglass had fallen in love with Murray, who assisted him in his final attempt to escape slavery in Baltimore. On September 3, 1838, Douglass boarded a train to Harvey de Grace, Maryland. Murray had provided him with some of her savings and a sailor's uniform. He carried identification papers obtained from a free black seaman. Douglass made his way to the safe house of an abolitionist, David Ruggles, in New York in less than 24 hours. Once he had arrived, Douglass sent for Murray to meet him in New York, where they married and adopted the name Johnson to discuss Douglass's identity. Anna and Frederick then settled in New Bedford, Massachusetts, which had a thriving free black community. There, they adopted Douglass as their married name. Douglass and Anna had five children together: Rosetta, Louis Henry, Frederick Duke Jr., Charles Redmond, and Annie, who died at the age of 10. Charles and Rosetta assisted their father in the production of his newspaper, The North Star. Anna remained a loyal supporter of Douglass's public work, despite marital strife caused by his relationships with other women. After Anna's death, Douglass married Helen Pitts, a feminist from Holyoke, New York. Pitts was the daughter of Gideon Pitts, an abolitionist colleague. A graduate of Mount Holyoke College, Pitts worked on a radical feminist publication and shared many of Douglass's moral principles. Their marriage caused considerable controversy, tongue twister, since Pitts was white and nearly 20 years younger than Douglass. Douglas's children were especially displeased with the relationship. Nonetheless, Douglas and Pitts remained married until his death 11 years later. After settling as a free man with his wife Anna in New Bedford in 1838, Douglas was eventually asked to tell his story at abolitionist meetings, and he became a regular anti-slavery lecturer. The founder of the weekly journal, The Liberator, William Lloyd Garrison, was impressed with Douglas's strength and rhetorical skill and wrote of him in his newspaper. Several days after the story ran, Douglas delivered his first speech at the Massachusetts Anti-Slavery Society annual convention in Nantucket. Crowds were not always hospitable to Douglas. While participating in an 1843 lecture tour through the Midwest, Douglas was chased and beaten by an angry mob before being rescued by a local Quaker family. Following the publication of his first autobiography in 1845, eventually arrived in Ireland as the potato famine was beginning. He remained in Ireland and Britain for 2 years, speaking to large crowds on the evils of slavery. During this time, Douglas' British supporters gathered funds to purchase his legal freedom. In 1847, the famed writer and orator returned to the United States as a free man. Upon his return, Douglas produced some abolitionist newspapers: the North Star, Frederick Douglass Weekly, Frederick Douglass Paper, Douglass's Monthly, and New National Era. The motto of the North Star was, "Right is of no sex, truth is of no color. God is the father of us all, and we all brethren." Although the narrative of the life of Frederick Douglass garnered Douglass many fans, some critics expressed doubt that a former enslaved person with no formal education could have produced such elegant prose. In addition to abolition, Douglass became an outspoken supporter of women's rights. In 1848, he was the only African American to attend the Seneca Falls Convention on Women's Rights. Elizabeth Cady Stanton asked the assembly to pass a resolution stating the goal of women's suffrage. Many attendees opposed the idea. Douglass, however, stood and spoke eloquently in favor, arguing that he could not accept the right to vote as a black man if women could not also claim that right. The resolution passed, yet Douglass would later come into conflict with women's rights activists for supporting the 15th Amendment, which bans suffrage discrimination based on race while upholding sex-based restrictions. By the time of the Civil War, Douglass was one of the most famous black men in the country. He used his status to influence the role of African Americans in the war and their status in the country. In 1863, Douglass conferred with President Abraham Lincoln regarding the treatment of black soldiers, and later with President Andrew Johnson on the subject of black suffrage. President Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, which took effect on January 1, 1863, declared the freedom of enslaved people in the Confederate territory. Despite the victory, Douglass supported John C. Freeman over Lincoln in the 1864 election, citing his disappointment that Lincoln did not publicly endorse suffrage for black freedmen. Slavery everywhere in the United States was subsequently outlawed by the ratification of the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Douglass was appointed to several political positions following the war. He served as president of the Freedmen's Savings Bank and as charge of affairs for the Dominican Republic. After 2 years, he resigned from his ambassadorship over objections to the particulars of U.S. government policy. He was later appointed Minister Resident and Consul General to the Republic of Haiti, a post he held between 1889 and 1891. In 1877, Douglass visited one of his former owners, Thomas Auld. Douglass had met with Auld's daughter, Amanda Auld Sears, years before. The visit held personal significance for Douglass, although some criticized him for the reconciliation. Douglass became the first African-American nominated for Vice President of the United States as Victoria Woodhull running mate on the Equal Rights Party ticket in 1872. Nominated without his knowledge or consent, Douglass never campaigned. Nonetheless, his nomination marked the first time that an African-American appeared on a presidential ballot. The second was Dick Gregory. But Douglass subsequently died on February 20, 1895, of a massive heart attack or stroke shortly after returning home from a meeting of the National Council of Women in Washington, D.C. He was buried in Mount Hope Cemetery in Rochester, New York. And this is the life and legacy of Frederick Douglass. This is a man who broke barriers ceilings, and status for Black excellence through his wit, intellect, and grace. And for that, I salute. So listeners, I hope you've been enjoying the series thus far, and may you enjoy the rest of your day with positivity, peace, and prosperity. And until next time, Stashers, Pole Pole, signing out. Bow.
I love you, Daddy.